I'm going to start, Ross, with this Schumacher. It's terribly telling and terribly, terribly interesting.
If you ever want it paused, just say stop it or pause. Because I got the one I have is 709 and it starts with his intro.
He won't be shy about telling you anything.
Good.
We got a very good contumely brewing at NBC because they dared to hire Rona McDaniels, the former Republican chair, and all of the on-air people at MSNBC are just beside themselves that they would have hired someone with a conservative thought.
Tell Matthew to check his phone.
She did say something kind of stupid immediately, though.
Well, I mean, what's that, John?
Rook, check your phone.
Well, she said, you know, all the time she stood up for Trump saying he should do whatever he wants. And then they asked her about the January 6th people. And she goes, well, no, I was just saying that because I wanted to be in lockstep with the Canada. I don't believe they should be pardoned. It's like, really? All right. Well, it's a way to have that solid base of conscience that we all love in politicians.
But if she's accidentally on the right side.
Accidentally? Well,
she
doesn't
want them to be pardoned.
But when she was the RNC chair, she was in lockstep with Trump.
Yeah, well, why is she no longer the RNC chair? Because they got rid of her.
The answer is bitter, Kenny.
Right? Because they installed the Trump daughter.
Correct.
They nestle right there on your chin quite well.
Yeah. Yeah, they fit perfect.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
You are such a dirty-legged so-and-so.
Well, let's just go with the fact she's with MSNBC.
I mean, okay, but I'll probably have to argue with you. You know that.
Here's what I want to know about whatever you guys are talking about. Who gives an F?
Well, what it does is tell you that the media is, the conventional news gatherers have no room at all for a... any voice
for somebody with fake opinions, sure.
This is an argument that I hope you both lose.
I don't think I'm bringing it up. Height is just taking aim with his.
Well, you know what I hate?
Hypocrisy.
You are correct, sir.
So do I. I didn't know this about her. I didn't know.
Hell, we've made a living in hypocrisy.
Maybe we should
all just look in the mirror, Height. We've made a living out of hypocrisy.
I don't. See, I can't do that, Kenny. You clowns can. I can't.
Oh, please give me a break.
I didn't get any newspapers today.
You didn't get any newspapers?
I don't get them in good weather, much less today.
I didn't. I got yesterday's today.
I didn't need to because I went online and read mine. Oh, Kenny, I was going to tell you. I traded some messages with Tommy and the veteran, the story that you wanted to talk to him about. Hello?
Don't look at me.
No, Kenny. Remember?
Well, apparently he's not going to.
Remember when he asked for his phone number?
Tom Mischke's?
Yeah.
Did you give it to me?
Yes.
I didn't call him. Jeez. What was I going to ask
him? I know you didn't call him. You were going to ask him about the veteran who died in St. Paul. He was a very good friend of his. And one of many layers to Tommy Mischke, he squatted with him in a old power plant for many years.
Years?
Tommy was a hobo.
I'll explain it all to you at some point.
Was this the guy who died as a result of a bus accident?
No, this is the guy that took a picture of the youth urinating. that were urinating, and they beat the hell out of him.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, a really good guy.
Yeah.
And a veteran.
If Tommy said he hoboed for years, he hoboed for maybe 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Hopping on boxcars?
Yeah. You just hate the fact that all of us have lived rich, full lives while you've gone to bed every night at 10 p.m. after a glass of warm milk and a cookie. And then got up and put on whatever clothes your wife laid out for you. That's what you're mad at.
Wow.
Every time we try to tell a fun story, you're like, you're lying. I don't believe that. Everything you say is a lie.
That doesn't sound like you. That's a really bad impersonation of him.
Rook, you have Masonic and Zero Res.
When are we going to talk about my new girlfriend, Joe?
Which, by the way, spells the same forwards
you
and
really
back.
Do
are
you like sure? Her, don't you?
You've tried it?
She is so interesting. Can you imagine? I'll save it for the air.
I have what you might consider a shocking announcement.
About shocking. Cray-cray?
Guys,
I'm going to save it for the air, yeah, my friend.
I think she has made herself fair game to discuss.
After the first segment,
we'll discuss discussing who? Her is what we'll do.
For real.
Kathy Cargill.
Oh, gotcha.
Excuse me.
In basketball, are you not allowed to touch another player? Well, I can't. That's why I hate basketball.
You can touch.
I don't understand the fouling.
Kind of. If you impede, is supposed to be the rule, I think.
Well,
if you
touching your arm is not impeding.
No, I agree. Well, did that happen? Or
yeah.
If you touch, LeBron James.
Yeah. That's
he
a foul.
Will flail like a soccer player.
Well, all of them do. It's just I can't stand it.
Yeah, to single out one NBA player for whining is really, you know.
And how'd you like the way Caitlin Clark's father had to tell her to shut up? Mm. All she does is bitch.
Hey, sit down and shut
That's
up
what
for
he
five
said.
Minutes.
Yeah. Basically. Bradaloni's Hardware and Garden Stores.
You rolling?
I'm rolling now.
I'm waiting for the word from the boss.
I'm rolling now, Joe, and I should actually have real copy for precision if you need it, but I'll need help printing it here when it shows up. But I'm rolling if you're good.
Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores brings you Garage Logic Podcast number 1272, March 25, 2024. 78 degrees on this day.
Wow.
In 1939.
I mean.
And 5 below on this day in 1940.
And now, from the mayor's office above the boathouse on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic. With Chris Reavers manning Technology Corner, Kenny Olson from the Krabby Coffee Shop, John Hite in the newsroom, and of course, the rookie. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and the keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Soucheray.
Are you guys aware of that supposed story going around about the Mayo Clinic hiring only... eliminating credible people to hire only very marginalized and troubled people. It's put out on Twitter, and it was sent to me. And a lot of the stuff the guy sent me, I got to spend a half hour verifying. It's not true. Mayo Clinic has been forced to clarify its hiring policies after a right-wing social media account accused the hospital of discriminating against straight white people, a claim that was then shared on X by Elon Musk. And it's false, according to the Mayo Clinic. Now, I'm going to take the word of the Mayo Clinic over the word of anybody who puts something on X. Okay. So the Mayo Clinic says this is BS. That's good enough for me. End of that story.
I think many would agree with you.
That's the problem with X, sorting through all the nonsense to find one fact.
There were no facts in this. It was put out by libs of TikTok, whatever that is.
It's a very conservative organization. And then, of course, the problem for me there, who was it chaired by? The owner.
Owner of the company. Well, the trouble is, in this day and age, it's plausible. But it's not true. All right. Now, sit down, relax, get a cup of water or whatever, coffee, whatever. Occasionally, apparently, climate change experts are brought to Senate committees to testify. And a young cross-country skier named Gus Schumacher was brought to the Senate to testify. Gus was born in Wisconsin, apparently lives in Alaska, and he's being questioned by Senator John Kennedy, a Republican of Louisiana. And at the beginning, you can hear Kennedy get to the bottom of something I was curious about. who in fact invited this kid. He's a kid. He's in his 20s, I suppose. Who invited him to testify about climate change? And it turns out that Schumacher's answer is, I'm here with, what's the name of it?
Sheldon
I'm here
White
with
House.
Protect Our yeah. Winters. Yeah. And then further develops that this group, Protect Our Winters, is one of 1,000 groups dedicated to climate change hysteria. And that Protect Our Winters apparently was invited to send a representative to the Senate hearings on climate change. And that was done by Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. Okay. He's a Democrat of Rhode Island. He's very keen on being convinced the world is ending due to climate change. He's an attorney by trade, traces his political lineage to the Clinton administration, and he's a dyed-in-the-wool believer. So here is, so this is what our elected officials do, you know, on our behalf. They bring experts to testify. And here is a climate change expert called Gus Schumacher. And he's being questioned by Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana.
Senator Kennedy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Vice Chairman. Mr. Schumacher. Welcome. You were, who invited you here today?
I came with Protect Our Winters.
Right. But you're here on behalf of the Democrats or the Republicans?
I'm here on behalf of the outdoor enthusiasts around America.
Okay. You were contacted by Senator Whitehouse's staff?
I personally came with Protect Our Winters, so I don't know how that went exactly.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but
right.
Well, you want us to abolish it, right?
No, there's always going to be carbon dioxide.
Right. So what is it you want us to do?
Let me
back up because I mean you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and the landscape that I live in Alaska. And so carbon dioxide is what I see it as is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what,
is it the major part of our atmosphere?
It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
0.04%.
Well, okay. But... I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you said we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is. You want us to abolish fossil fuels?
I never said that.
You never have said that?
No.
Okay. What do you think we ought to do with fossil fuels?
What will we do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. Should we make any changes?
I would like to see a decrease in the use of fossil fuels. I think there's a possibility to use more electric generation.
Okay. Over what period of time? 10 years, 50 years, 100 years?
That's not... I would like to see it come as fast as possible while continuing...
How fast?
Sorry?
How fast?
I'm not... I don't have a...
You don't know?
For that. No.
Okay. You just think, well... How much will it cost for us to... become carbon neutral in the United States by 2050?
I'm not a professional on that. I don't have an answer.
You don't have any idea?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money?
I'm not an economist.
Yeah, but it's going to cost money. You realize that.
Yeah, but we've also talked about the trade-off of what the cost of climate change as emergencies will cost in the future also. So
right, but it's going to cost trillions of dollars to become carbon neutral by 2050, right?
I do not know.
You don't know. You just think we ought to do it.
I don't have a great answer for you, but I think I would.
If we spent those trillions of dollars and became carbon neutral by 2050 in the United States, which you advocate, how much will it reduce world temperatures?
I don't have an answer for that.
You don't know?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money and then see what happens?
I think, wow, as an athlete, I think if we spend that money and invest in our future, hopefully those temperatures stop rising and maybe the snow at least stabilizes where it is for me. But yeah, I don't think anyone knows for sure. I don't know anyway.
Well, when my colleagues invite witnesses to come to us to tell us, advise us on passing legislation, I always check out the background of our witnesses because I like to know who I'm talking to. I checked yours out, Mr. Schumacher, and I want to be sure I understand it as I evaluate your testimony. On June 8, 2020, you tweeted, I'm going to quote, "The war on drugs was intentionally created to incarcerate black people en masse," end quote. The war on drugs, you said, was intentionally created to incarcerate black people en masse. Who intentionally created the war on drugs to put black people in jail? Who were you talking about?
I don't remember typing that.
You don't?
No.
It's on your Twitter feed.
Maybe a retweet. I don't know. I haven't used that in a while.
Well, also, even it doesn't, if it's a retweet, like it shows your support, right?
Maybe, yeah. But it's not the topic of this conversation.
Right. But it has to do with, you're here giving us advice, and I just kind of like to know a little bit more about your
opinion. Yeah, I'm here as an athlete giving you my story and what I've seen in my
field. On August 27th of 2020, you tweeted this, quote, I'm going to quote, "Police are paid with taxpayer dollars. If they are not answerable to us, we can demand new service," and that's what this is. "Abolish the police in favor of that new service," end quote. You think we ought to abolish the police, do you?
Again, not the topic I'm here to talk about today.
I know, but you tweeted it. Do you think we ought to abolish the police?
That's not what I'm here to talk about.
Should we do that before or after we get rid of fossil fuels?
I'm not going to address that.
Yeah, you don't want to address it. Okay. Let me ask you about one more of your tweets. On August 26, 2020, you tweeted, there's a picture. I'm not going to describe the picture, but you said, quote, your words, not mine. It's on your Twitter feed. Quote, "This is what systemic racism looks like. The Los Angeles Police Department is literally policing only the Black Lives Matter side," end quote. What do you mean by that?
This is still off topic.
No, it's not. You're here as an expert telling us, advising us, and I'm asking you about your background.
I'm here as an athlete to talk about the effects of climate change on my sport.
Okay, let's go back. Well, I'm almost out of time.
You're well out of time, and we have other senators waiting, so okay, please wrap up when you have a moment.
All right. Thank you all for your testimony.
But there's no need to comment.
Really?
Protect Our Winters has on its, according to their website, they have a scientist, supposedly. I wonder why they didn't send the scientist. And Protect Our Winters, you can buy a lot of hats and shirts and stuff with POW on them. Get it?
Merch. They have merch.
They got a lot of merch. And they've got an expert mountain biker and an expert runner, but they do have a scientist, Nina somebody. And Gus Schumacher is listed as their skier. And if you're a passionate outdoor enthusiast who cares about protecting your natural playgrounds, then show that commitment to the world by wearing POW. In other words, buy our T-shirts and stuff. But here's the problem. If this is the best our elected officials can come up with to sell the nation on this, what they're counting on is, what they're betting on is, that people have are buying the climate change hysteria just because they hear about it so much. I'll give you a brief example. As part of the news coverage yesterday by local television stations, quite understandably, they went around and talked to people about this snow event we had yesterday. And they found a married couple and they began chatting and it was all pleasant. And at one point, the woman said, well, you know, you get a little nervous about global warming. And that's because that's all she's thought about. She hasn't thought critically for 5 seconds past that point. And so she was worried about, you know, we had no winter. You worry, you get a little nervous about global warming, and then we get this. I guess it's good because I don't have to use my snowblower, on and on and on. But my point is, people have not thought, they've been really sold this BS. Mm-hmm. And this kid is a classic example of just blindly joining the Protect Our Winters group, probably enthusiastically to be their representative skier. And the next thing you know, the poor sucker's invited to Washington, and he has no idea what the hell he's talking about. Zero idea. So I thought that was important to play because it's so revelatory about there's nobody that they could bring to Congress that would be able to convince
right.
you.
Right. Well, I think they sabotaged the kid and themselves, and they did themselves great harm. I clicked on the scientist portion of their website, Joe. They've got a whole team of scientists that they could have trotted into Washington and had them speak with at least a little bit of authority.
And this kid was half-baked, it seemed, and all he could do to keep from saying, all I need is a cool wave. And
You know what I kept thinking? That scene in Big Lebowski where Lebowski goes, you mind if I do a J?
Yeah.
Preached at by the real Lebowski.
Oh, man. Well, it might be telling of who they have on their staff that they thought this was the best kid to send.
They really hurt themselves.
Yeah.
And that Strother Martin sounding dude, he didn't do himself any favors, especially with the first tweet about the blacks and the weed laws.
Yeah, he should have
stuck
to the climate.
Yeah, that was he really made himself look stupid. And of course, we know why marijuana laws were invented, not only black people, but Mexican and anybody else who wasn't perfect in society at the time.
Yeah, even Ehrlichman admitted that's why Nixon.
Yeah. Strother Martin really blew it with that portion.
He really did have a voice identical to Strother Martin.
Yeah, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
No, but there is no climate crisis. I get tired of pointing that out. But it's so obvious. It's so evident that people don't even think about it. They accept what they're told.
What is the word for that? Oh, I know what it is. Brainwashing.
I guess it must be. Yeah. I guess it must be.
POW has just, if you go to their page, I'm already up to about 50 folks who work for them, and I haven't even made it down the whole thing.
I know.
Yeah.
They must pay a lot of salaries unless they're all working for free.
And then they're one of, you can throw a dart at the board and you're going to hit 50 groups that are the same type of group that want to pretend that we're all in big trouble. And when should we bring up our dear friend Kathy Cargill? She is buying up Park Point in Duluth. And the world is onto it now. Over the weekend, it was Daily Mail, Wall Street Journal, Fox News, Star Tribune. The world is onto it because it's, I guess it's a fun story that the wife of a billionaire is buying properties and the locals are befuddled by it. And the Duluth politicians they don't know where to be on this because they're so used to being in charge of everything. And here comes this gal just buying it up. And she has now said that she's done. She's not going to improve their community and they're not going to get a pickleball court. All right.
Credit to the Wall Street Journal. They're the one that broke the story and they convinced her to talk. But I think Kathy needs to stay away from the microphone and the telephone and the reporters. And
unless she's talking about the cars,
just remain reclusive.
She, in addressing the involvement of the Duluth mayor, she told the Wall Street Journal, "I think an expression that we all know, don't pee in your Cheerios. Well, he kind of peed in his Cheerios right there. And definitely I'm not going to do anything to benefit that community." I have not heard that expression before. I've heard similar expressions.
Mm-hmm. I know the similar ones,
but I've never heard that one.
Something about work and work wives.
And she continued, "The good plans that I have for beautifying, updating, fixing up Park Point or putting up that sports court, forget it. There's another community out there with more welcoming people than that small-minded community." So sounds like she's burning up bridges.
All in. She's all in.
I mean, she's already bought all this stuff. If it's true that she intends to wash her hands of it and walk away, what the hell is she going to do with all the stuff she bought?
Right.
Kenny, you said you had some additional information.
Yesterday, our friend Julie, who she has a private Twitter account, you probably don't follow her,
said that
Kathy needs a PR person. And I volunteered on Twitter that that should be me, because I would love to work with her. Well, lo and behold, last night, the Cargill team got a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now working for Kathy Cargill. I am part of the Cargill machinery.
Really?
And
that's fantastic.
I was in meetings with him all morning long, and I am allowed to release some information to the public.
I would like that.
Because all inquiries now have to go through me or the team, but my name and number is at the top of that list.
Yeah.
And I am allowed to tell you that Kathy's plans do include buying the entire 7 mile strip.
All right. Thank
you. She is definitely going to do that.
Now, this is not heard before. This is breaking on this show.
This is all breaking news that I've been allowed to release to the public and the bloodthirsty Minnesota media.
Right.
Wow. Once that's accomplished, she is without question putting in a private airport big enough to accommodate the Boeing 777s.
All right.
And with a private airport with the parking for at least 15 triples and countless smaller private jets. We do know that 100% going in.
Okay.
From this point forward, after this, she's still unsure about what she wants to do with the remainder of the island. There's many ideas that we're tossing around.
What about the pickleball court? Any further word on that?
The closest we're coming to pickleball is kind of a sports kind of whole theme park thing, but it's with a caveat. All of the, like the skate, there's going to be a skate park tennis and pickle and whatnot. But it's all going to be for trans youth.
Oh, all right.
And the area is going to be called the Transgender Jam.
Okay.
But you have to qualify as a trans before you can come into that.
You know, did it come up in the meetings that it just sounds like the airport alone will take up so much space?
It is going to be a significant amount of land covered, but it's a 7 mile strip, and we figure we can get it in. One of Kathy's early ideas, and I don't know if she still wants to do this, she wanted to put in 10 private but modest, we're going to say 35,000 square foot homes, where her friends from around the globe could come and vacation.
I do love the modest $35,000.
Any word on her McLaren collection insofar as that might be reflected on Park Point?
One of her crazier ideas, and this is the one I really jumped behind, especially after watching IndyCar racing yesterday at a private club. She was talking about putting in a private road course just for exotic cars and then maybe reducing the amount of 35,000 square foot homes.
Sure.
Just so we have a nice track.
Wouldn't that be something? Because I note that McLaren of Chicago has featured her prominently in some of their literature and films.
Her desire there is she wants to be able to, on one of the straightaways, she wants the whole thing to be a straightaway to hit, 215, 220,
right.
That kind of speed range.
Yeah. Isn't that fantastic? I'm glad you were hired, because the one question I have too, and maybe this wouldn't come up, but it seems to me that the Cargill family, one of the richest families in the country, privately held, has always, to the best of my knowledge, they've never sought publicity.
No.
Very private.
And do you think she's become the black sheep of the family, so to speak?
I think the family is more concerned about the bacon-eating bureaucrat that's running Duluth, their self-righteous Roger. I think he's the big problem, and if he would have kept his stinky little nose out of it, everything would have been fine. You know, the Cargill family, they are community-minded. She actually, one of her ideas has been a homeless camp. She wants to put in a homeless camp up there on the whole 7 mile strip and just call it Camp Itchy Gitchy Gloomy.
Yep. Was she, I've heard a rumor that she at first wished to buy the entire city of Duluth. Is there any truth to that?
I think we've talked her off that ledge, but she keeps muttering things like that.
Is the airport going to be like St. Martin, where people can just stand up against the rickety fence, and as those big bombers land, they can scratch their belly?
Here's what you're not understanding. That strip of land will be closed at the lift bridge.
Okay.
So no public beyond that point.
I get it.
Do you represent any other members of the Cargill family, or is this just strictly?
I'm not at liberty to divulge full measure of my employment, but she said I still can work at GL if I want. I'm not sure if I do.
Well, that's up to you. This could become easily a full-time job.
I love her so much.
I know you
she do. Is made she is I just love her.
She's, well, she's changed your life.
She's so honest and down to earth and wholesome and completely totally sane.
She looks so normal in, depending on which color McLaren she's sitting in. She kind of has that.
I like the orange.
I'm on the low end of McLaren owners. Yeah.
Kenny, you've convinced me, Kenny. Do you think you'll need an assistant?
Not at this point.
Oh, okay.
Not at this point. You can't afford Johnny.
What? So long as you choose to remain with GL, we'll continue to be the breaking news outlet for this story, I would hope.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to talking to a self-righteous Roger. She does have a personal message for him when he does finally contact me. It was quite simple, and I don't know if everybody will understand this message, but it's F-A-F-O. So that's her message for Roger. Quite simple.
F-A.
Well, I couldn't be happier. To have this show be.
Would you like to meet her?
I would dearly love to have her in studio as a guest.
Could you arrange that? No, she's too private, but I can.
She doesn't sound terribly private to me.
I wonder what
I can arrange a private meeting if you'd like to fly.
I would like that.
We'll do that. We'll get that done.
I still am having trouble just imagining the family at, say,
Thanksgiving. Well, that's private now. We don't need to talk about private.
You're right. I'm sorry. I don't want to cost you your gig.
As far as getting to Duluth, helicopter or jet, how do you want to?
To meet her, you mean?
Yeah. We'll send.
Is she living there?
We'll meet in Duluth. I'm not going to divulge her the exact location.
I'll drive myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just not at night.
Well, that's a good point. And then I don't want to drive there during a snowstorm either.
And you could stay over at the Radisson downtown, that round hotel.
I've stayed there before.
I think we can accommodate you if you would like to stay overnight.
I would like that.
You wouldn't want to stay at the Radisson with all those hockey kids running around?
Not if Kathy can come up with a better situation.
And do please call her Kathy. There's no reason to call her Mrs. Cargill.
She's very informal. Called her Kathy.
Yeah.
Our friend, the geologist, Stacy, has written, it was 1 p.m. on this snowy Sunday yesterday, and we got the call that the garage door spring broke at the house we rent to one of the kids we used to have. I told my husband, I got a guy. You know what they did right off the bat?
Precision.
Called Precision Garage Door.
So smart.
They answered right away. They said they would be on site within hours. Our technician, Patrick, was a pleasure to work with. He provided us with an estimate. D detailed written report with pictures as well as explaining what was needed. They were in and out in an hour. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have to take off work to get this done. The renters don't need to park their cars outside in the street. We are so very impressed with Precision Garage Door. We will be recommending them to everyone we know. Signed, Stacy, the GL geologist. And the other thing that they took advantage of yesterday is she did not have to pay extra for a weekend visit.
Nice.
And if you've ever been stung on a Sunday afternoon visit in the winter, you know what that means. That's fantastic news. I have no doubts that that would have been the experience they would have had. Precision Door MN, they take care of Western Wisconsin, the entire metro area. They do it right, and they do it the first time. And it sounds, because Stacy would have told me, it sounds like they didn't have to go back to the shop.
Right.
They get a spring or something. They got it in their trucks. PrecisionDoorMN.com.
Hey there, GLers. Do what Reavers did a couple of years ago and make the switch to Hofferman Water. Well, first what I did was I called them up to get on the schedule for that free water analysis. And I'm telling you right now that this is the best time of the year to do that. They get a little bit busy in the spring and in the summer, so make sure that you're getting on that schedule right away. Give them a call, 612-895-2440. You can also visit their website, which is HoffermanWater.com. I had my new system installed years ago, and it's made an amazing difference in the quality of my water. Doesn't matter whether we're doing laundry, your showers, your drinking water, your cooking, your coffee. Everything is better with Hofferman and Kinetico. So if you're in the market, they do offer sales, service, and rental options. If you're in the market for rental for Kinetico water treatment systems, that includes water softeners, iron rust, and odor filtration systems, and of course, drinking water systems. I've been a proud customer. In fact, that's how this relationship started years ago, was I was a customer before they ever decided to advertise on Garage Logic, and it's been great. I'm so happy and have been very, very happy with my service with Hofferman and Kinetico, and I know that you will be too. So get on that schedule, have them come out for that free water analysis, and please make sure that you mention the Garage Logic podcast. Hofferman Water has been proudly serving the state of Minnesota for over 50 years.
Kenny, bravo, bravo.
If a plane crashes on the U.S.-Canadian border, where do you bury the survivors?
You don't. They're alive. Survivors.
Does Africa have a 4th of July?
Of course.
Spell host.
H-O-S-T.
Most.
M-O-S-T.
Roast.
R-O-A-S-T.
Boast.
B-O-A-S-T.
What do you put in a toaster?
Toast.
Nope.
What do you put in a toaster?
Bread.
What month has 28 days?
All of them.
Ooh. Name three consecutive days without mentioning Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
I don't know.
Independence Day.
Three consecutive
New Year's
days.
Day.
Today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Very good,
All
Joe.
Right. Hey, Joe. Hey.
There's a boat full of people, yet not one single person on that boat. How could that be?
Boat full of people. It's a picture.
There's Painting. A boat. There's a boat full of people. Yet not one single person on that boat. How could that
there's
be?
There's more than one single person? What,
They're all married?
Matthew!
Copy. Oh, I get it. One single.
Oh, single.
Single.
What does C-A-L spell?
Cal.
What does V-E-S spell?
Vess.
Put them together and you get?
Calvis.
I don't get it.
Calvis.
Calvis.
Velcus.
Maybe you have to write it down.
C A L.
V E S.
V E S.
Calves.
Calvis.
There.
Why? What are you doing?
Last one. There are 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. How many didn't?
How many didn't what?
Two.
30 cows in a field and 28 chickens. Yeah, two didn't eat chickens.
How many didn't?
Right? Two didn't eat chickens. There's 30 and there's 28. Boom, two. I did the math.
Kenny, I just texted you a lady that had this on her shirt at the airport over the weekend.
I want to know the answer that one.
Yeah, I want to know the chicken and cow one.
Two.
10 did not eat chickens.
How do you come up with 10?
28 chicken.
Oh,
that's so stupid.
Oh, my God.
Joe, how do you put up with this every day?
Well, what is this bullshit?
That's the one Thomas and my guy, the two wheelchair pushers were.
Joe did pretty good, actually. Joe did very well.
I had no hope for you, Joe.
Yeah, you're not as senile as all those people on Twitter say.
That's
obviously.
Right. That's right. All right.
What are we waiting for? Let's go.
Somebody want to read something, Calvus. Kenny? Or
I know.
Kenny had short pelvises.
Yeah, I can do zero res.
All right, rookie. When we come back,
did you get my text, Kenny?
Yeah, I don't get it, Matt.
Say it out loud.
Will we get in trouble?
No,
I'm Mike who cheese Harry.
Pardon me?
Mike who cheese Harry?
Mike who cheese Harry.
Huh? Mike who cheese.
Mike.
Mike who cheese?
Oh.
Lady had that on her shirt at the airport.
What does it say? My what?
That's funny. Yeah.
It's just
our age then, huh?
It's just the word Mike, and then who, and then cheese, and then Harry.
Mike who cheese Harry?
What? But you don't have to brag about it.
Yeah, maybe trim it up a little.
Trim it up, baby. Oh. What am I doing zero res here?
Yikes. Yikes.
Joe, do you want me to come whisper in your ear what it is?
Joe, I also have a list of, what are these, acronyms? We can go through these.
Did you get hit by a meteor or something?
What does BAE stand for? I've got two pages of stuff like that.
Atomic energy.
What's up, Bay?
Before anyone else. All right.
Are you ready? All right. Well, fire up the music.
Remember, we got Patrick coming in here today.
Yes, it is. We got Rook. Yes. Rook will have zero res here. All right, guys. Sit tight.
The Earth is not your mother. The Joe Soucheray Show.
Hey, do the ad. Let's go.
5960. Nothing is sexier than talking about getting your carpet cleaned. And I'm telling you right now, Zero Res, they're the people that can do it the right way. There's over 17,000 reviews that you can check out. Yeah, 17,000 raving customer reviews online, 4.9 Google rating. The hype is about Zero Res. You can save big in March when you beat the spring cleaning rush. And we got some great offers from Zero Res. This month, three rooms Zero Resified for Minnesota's number one carpet cleaner, starting at just $129, $75 off your air duct cleaning, and 20% off all upholstery. I'm going to give you the telephone number right now, but I want to tell you that you can trust the guys at Zero Res to come into your home, do an efficient job, and then get out. Don't do it yourself. Those machines are not as professional and are not as environmentally friendly as the Zero Res machines are. The Gotta Love It guarantee will make sure that you are satisfied. 952-ZEROREZ. Or go online to ZeroResMinnesota.com and tell them you want the Rookie Spring Special. Spelled forwards or backward is spelled exactly the same, and that's Zero Res.
Our vice president, who is a moron, officially, officially a moron.
I thought she was a Democrat.
She was in Puerto Rico last week, and she visited the Goyoko Community Center in San Juan, and then she ventured outside of that community center into the courtyard where she began singing and humming and clapping along with a Spanish fellow who was singing. only to have one of her aides go up to her and say, "The guy's ripping you a new ass bleep. You want to maybe want to quit singing?" So she was she's nodding and clapping along. She was so happy, and the then suddenly she was told what the lyrics meant, and she got that never mind look on her face, and her hands dropped to her side. There's really no audio to accompany that, but it's made quite a few of the websites that our moron was clapping along to. Long live Free Palestine and Haiti too. What are you here for? What are you going to do for us while you're here? And she had gone to Puerto Rico to tout ongoing federal aid to the territory in wake of the Hurricane Maria. And she didn't know that she was being hectored by the protesters.
Did you watch the video? Because she's clapping.
She's clapping. I saw the video.
And somebody whispers in her ear, and all of a sudden her hands just go like
this. Well, and then during her motorcade, she was greeted by protesters, including one with a sign that said Kamala Harris war criminal, because protesters are opposed to Biden administration support of Israel. Let's just put it this way. She didn't have a clue what was happening and had to be reminded by the
aid. I think just in general, she doesn't have a clue what's happening.
By the aid there that I thought was pretty good.
She could probably use my public relations expertise. Wow, huh?
Kenny, you're getting celebrities left and right here.
I'm so glad you were contacted, man. That's it's important for us. It's important for the show.
Really looking forward to working with her. She's such a wonderful, you know what she is? She's a nut.
Yeah.
And she's a lot of fun.
Yeah. We have DEI information from the Biden, DEI information from the Biden administration. Mm. It's a newsletter, and they want to change terminology related to counterterrorism, linguistics diversity, another about reimagining how we talk about Africa, a fourth highlighting an intelligent officer's gender expression, one about accessibility in the combat zone, and a final article about the 6th annual African-American and Hispanic Leadership Summit. The first article features the perspective of an intelligence official who notes how some training and presentations previously conflated Islamic beliefs with terrorism, and we are to understand that's offensive and alienates our Muslim American colleagues. A similar effort is highlighted by the newsletter's editor-in-chief, who tells us that new Asian and Pacific Islander employee resource groups have been successful in creating a new framework and language guidelines for how we talk about the People's Republic of China, and all of which means that in China right now, they're having a good chuckle. The article about linguistics diversity includes a chart of examples of removing biased language. It says officials should refrain from using the term blacklisted because it implies black is bad and white is good. The terms cakewalk or grandfathered because of their ties to slavery.
Wait, cakewalk?
Cakewalk. I had no idea.
Oh, that's
and the term sanity check because it suggests people with mental illness are inferior.
No,
I would argue that in many cases they are.
That's not how, but okay, anyway.
The article about gender identity is written by an anonymous intelligence officer who says cross-dressing has sharpened his skills.
Okay.
We don't know what skills have been sharpened.
Well, his razor, for one.
I'm an intelligence officer, and I am a man who likes to wear women's clothes, the author wrote. I think my experiences as someone who cross-dresses have sharpened the skills I use as an intelligence officer, particularly critical thinking and perspective taking.
Uh-huh. Does he wear them on the outside or just the underpants?
Sounds like the whole whole deal.
That's a lot of work.
It is challenging for some people to understand cross-dressing and non-binary or gender-fluid people because gender is a part of overall identity, he added. Many of us think our identities as fixed, and some find this approach to gender threatening to their own identity. The officer said cross-dressing has helped him understand foreign actors, clandestine assets, and how to better support his female and LGBTQIAWTF colleagues.
Huh.
And in a statement to Fox News Digital, the office from the administration confirmed its efforts to build a diverse and inclusive workforce through the newsletter. It's the Intelligence Community Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility Office. There's another new job. Yes.
Mm. A question for you. Is there anything in that report or that article about the many, many, well, our government and intelligence agencies being chock-a-block with Russian and Cuban spies? Any mention of that?
No.
Any compromised documents going to China? Anything about that?
No.
Anything about the inside information about the Putin-Ukraine war or the
no.
Jews and Hamas? So really nothing about what's actually going on in the world?
Well, Tom Cotton, a Republican from Arkansas, said the Biden administration is putting DEI above national security.
Ah.
Mm. Intelligence officers should spend their time finding terrorists, not worrying about whether we would offend them.
Well, that's an outrageous idea. That must be coming from the Republicans, huh?
Yes. In Jeremy Hunt, a former Army intel officer and the chairman of the National Security Focus Group Veterans on Duty, expressed concern about the newsletter's emphasis on altering language to make the intelligence community more inclusive. Rather than our primary focus being on protecting the homeland, these absurd attempts to police the language of intelligence assessments to make them politically correct will undoubtedly result in lower quality, imprecise, and confusing intelligence reports that leave lawmakers and decision makers less informed and unable to make reasoned decisions. I'm having a deep thought.
Go.
I had a bit of it over on the Garage Logic Service Road of Life, but I'm having a deep thought. If you can dress any way you want, and you can claim about yourself anything you want, will there ever again be such thing as a standard that a group would uphold? Is that clear? Try again. Let me try again.
Regarding wardrobe?
Let me try again.
All right.
If let's just take the intelligence community, let's not foghorn it for purposes of expediency.
Okay.
Let's just take the intelligence community in Washington, D.C. If they're all allowed to be called by whichever pronoun they choose, mm-hmm. if they're all allowed to dress if they're males and they're all allowed, or whoever chooses to can dress in female clothes, and if they're all compelled to use only government-approved terms to refer to the people they're supposedly trying to be intelligent about, what is the standard of behavior and conformity that is upheld to? In other words, conformity seems to be taking a big hit here in the modern culture revelations. And conformity, you would think, would be important in, for example, the military.
Okay. Well, that'd be handy.
You could make the argument that conformity might not be necessary in a failed academy social studies class. But if you're in the Marine Corps, wouldn't conformity help 100%. Realize the end mission, the end game?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all about the core and being a team and breaking down one's sense of self to focus on the team, if I'm right.
So ironically, let's just stick to the intelligence community. Ironically, this is paradoxical. Because in this country, we should treasure our individuality. It's our freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And yet, when you enter certain lines of work, wouldn't you think your individuality is subjugated to the larger goal of what the group is trying to accomplish? Is that a fair statement?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now you have an intelligence community. Oh, you know, Fred wants to be called Barbara, and Barbara wants to dress as Fred, and they're all over the map. Haven't you lost a great deal of the reason the group should exist?
Which might be the goal.
Haven't you introduced, you've introduced some chaos to a certain degree.
Yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah. And then you have so to wonder.
Who is to decide ultimately what should constitute a conformity? When I went to high school, I had to wear a uniform. Right. That was part of the deal.
Right.
I'm not sure it occurred to any of us to say to the authorities, go bleep yourself, I'm not wearing this tie.
That would have gone over well,
though. I don't think that would have defeated the purpose of having the uniform in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right. They wanted uniformity. They wanted you to.
And we're seeing it. If I'm making any sense at all, we're seeing this, for example, play out in the legislature right here in Minnesota to this degree. If you keep electing legislators who have only their individual concerns at heart, then what possible good are they doing for the state, for the lot of us? When you're hired as a trans and when you're elected as a trans and all you do is husband through the legislative process, nothing but trans issues. Well,
now you're talking about Minnesota.
I am. I said Minnesota legislature.
Yeah.
What are you accomplishing?
Well, you're accomplishing nothing for the people you're purported to represent, but for your movement, you're doing, making great strides. So you're right. Who's in charge to say no? And how does that person survive politically and or professionally after saying no?
Yes, because, see, if I say no to that.
You're done for.
I say no to that, then I'm transphobic, I'm homophobic, right. I'm racist. I'm
all of the above.
I'm patriarchal, I'm too white. So are we entering a phase of our declining culture where there will be nothing to suggest a civility or a conformity? It will completely fall apart.
Hmm. Well, we're headed that way, and I think the rest of the world, especially our enemies, are banking on that. They're gleeful about what's happening in the United States.
You know, to you, intelligence officials who think you go bleep yourself. Put on your bleeping uniform, and if you got to wear a dress, do it at home.
Yeah.
But see, I get nowhere with that. They've gotten to the point where at the highest levels of intelligence gathering in the United States, the Biden administration is now submitting these efforts to make sure we're inclusive about this. And if Fred wants to come looking like Ma Bell, that's he gets to do that. Go bleep yourselves, you idiots.
Right. Well, you have to ask him, what does that do for the security of this country?
Well, according to this fruitcake who says he sharpens his skills, he'll claim that it's improved him.
Does that improve your intelligence gathering, abilities? See, I'm worried about you, Joe.
Why?
Not because of these outrageous views of yours, which a lot of people consider outrageous. I'm worried because you think we're still in decline. You have to come over to my side and realize, dude, we're floating along on rock bottom. We are walking on the bottom. So you may as well crack open a beer and enjoy yourself. It's over. It's done for. Let's party. Do you mind if I do this, Jay?
No, go ahead. What I would do in a hurry is get new windows, because how long is this going to last? You know, you have no idea. I'd go to Renewal by Anderson for the best possible windows and patio doors and entry doors available. They really are. They've been making and engineering these locally for a long time. I know many people who trust and abide by Anderson Windows. They're a J.D. Power Award winner. That's the highest customer satisfaction among window and patio door manufacturers you can get. They have the most five-star reviews in the greater Twin Cities among leading full-service window replacement companies. All of that is verified and available for your review on their website. If you're in the market for windows, check out Renewals Acclaim Replacement Windows. Absolutely the best. And whether you need the windows, patio doors, or entry doors, Renewal by Anderson has the best products and the best service. Learn more at renewalbyanderson.com/garage logic. They probably want to know how many GLers are weighing in, huh?
Track them, yes.
Or give them a call, Renewal by Anderson, at 651-705-6931. Tell them GL sent you. Mm-hmm. They want to know that, too. Mm-hmm.
Awesome, Kenny.
Awesome, Kenny. Let's get, you still have Pro Turf and Seafoam to knock out. Let's get one of those out of the gate. And then, Rookie, do you want to bookend it, that segment, with Masonic?
Yeah, I can do that.
Perfect.
Do you
have an insert to do for Joe at some point for Hire a Pro?
Straight through, Ross, or do I break? Or
Because we'll still have, after the news, there's still one segment, correct, if we did it as a full?
Oh, yeah.
At least one, maybe two?
Yeah, I can do whatever you want.
You can do it as a full, because I just have a to full? Do...
Okay.
Yep. Because after this, we'll just have Kenny can finish his in the final segment, so we should be good.
Got it.
I need to do some quick editing here really quickly, boys, and then we can go if you're ready.
Such. AMA. Go ahead, John. You can help him. AMA.
AMA?
I know this one.
American Medical Association.
Ross, you have to stay out of it. Do your editing.
I won't know.
You'll know Ross. Ross will know all of them, so he's excluded.
I don't
ask,
know.
Ask me anything.
I don't want to know. I don't care.
That's I-C-Y-M-I.
I cover your ass.
I-C-Y-M-I.
Intercontinental ballistic missile.
Wow, how'd you get that?
I don't know.
In case you missed it, here's one John should get. IMO.
Are these all for texting?
IMO.
In my opinion.
John, good job.
I am over it.
JK.
JK, just kidding.
Very good, wow. John.
Okay, listen, now that I know it's for texting, maybe I can figure them out.
N-B-D-N-B.
No big deal.
O-M-W.
Oh, my word.
Well, or.
Oh, my.
On.
On my word.
On my way.
On my way.
On my way. Where are you going?
N-V-M. O-N-V-M.
Not very meaningful. Not very manful. Never mind.
Okay. DIY. Think
do it yourself.
Box. Yeah. Cheerbox.
LOL.
Laugh EOD. Out loud.
Huh? EOD.
End of the world, dude.
Here's one that you'll never get, Joe. LMAO.
Laugh my ass off.
That's an easy one.
Rise. Hey, yo. Good job.
You ready, Ross?
I am ready next segment.
Well, that's really given another acronym.
Kenny,
I've got a lot of them.
Pro Turf or Seafoam, and then Rookie at the end of the segment, give us Masonic.
Copy. Okay.
All right. Sit tight, boys.
Wait.
Yep.
Is John breaking in the middle of his news?
He does not need to this time.
No. All right.
But that'll set you up for, we'll have one more read from you still, Kenny.
All right.
Afterwards. All right. Sit tight.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores, sifting through the nuts and bolts of life.
Joe Souchere.
You think preserving ignition vapors is a joke? It ain't no joke. It really helps when you have a sketchy battery like I do on my plow truck. Boy, those ignition vapors, she fires right up even when that battery is junk. Help your engine run better and last longer with Seafoam motor treatment. It cleans harmful gum and varnish from the system, and it preserves ignition vapors. Safe and easy to use in all sorts of machinery, anything cylinder related. Just pour it in your fuel tank, let it work. It also works great, though, in oil. Heavy oil residue and deposits form naturally over time. It can restrict oil flow. You dump a can in before, you know, let's just say 100 miles before an oil change. It's going to shake all that garbage loose. You'll drain it away when you change the oil. You can pick up a can anywhere you want, even the grocery store. This stuff is everywhere. A local company, a global reach, and a wonderful product in a world of bad gas. Seafoam.
Mr. John Hyde is up.
Thank you, Joe. This news is brought to you by North American Banking Company. Authorities say six boys were arrested Sunday night after a person reported being robbed at gunpoint in Brooklyn Park. The police there say officers called to the 5500 block of 84th and a half Avenue at about 9:45 p.m. after a caller said a group of boys had held guns to his head and robbed him. The department says officers were able to track all the suspects to a home in the area, called the suspects out, and arrested them. In total, six juvenile male suspects were booked on suspicion of aggravated robbery. Police also noted the victim's property and two guns were found in that home.
Copy.
Minneapolis Park Police say a young man was injured Saturday night after a fight involving a large group of teens escalated into a shooting. Members of the Park and City Police Departments were called to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Park shortly after 9:15 Saturday night for a report of shots being fired. Police say an injured 19-year-old man was found in a vehicle a few blocks away. He was taken to HCMC with what were being described as non-life-threatening injuries. Park police say a large group of teens were fighting in the park, and as the fighting continued, multiple people pulled out guns and began firing. That also caused several vehicles to be damaged. They added multiple rounds were fired from multiple firearms. According to park police, a person in the car, the injured man was found in, also had a gun. Police say they've arrested two juveniles for weapons-related charges and recovered two guns and one BB gun. At this time, park police say they aren't sure if shots were fired in or at the park.
That reminds me of no fighting in the war room.
Yeah.
You go to the peaceful Martin Luther King Jr. Park and you shoot it up.
Yeah.
Well, the number of cases involving firearms has hit an all-time high in Minnesota. The attorney and sheriff of the state's most populated county say they're worried not just about the numbers, but the firepower. According to the most recent county attorney firearms report highlighting felony cases where defendants allegedly had used a firearm and committed offenses, there were 1,805 cases in 2023, a 14% increase from the year before. Mary Moriarty, our friend at Hennepin County, when she was asked what sticks out most, she says the number of switches, which are also known as auto sears, her office is seeing involved in cases, is increasing. Switches are small modifications made to guns that turn them into automatic weapons. Another agency tracking the issue closely is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, or ATF. The field division of ATF says the Twin Cities were not the first to start recovering these devices, but certainly among the first areas to start seeing them proliferate with such intensity. The ATF is one of the partners the Hennepin County Sheriff's Office is working with in a coordinated effort to try and rid the streets of those kinds of weapons.
I think a good job for Mary would be to be a daycare teacher, where she could get to these people at a very young age and, mm-hmm. you know, read them golden books about heavy equipment or farm animals or something to steer them on the right path. Because by the time Mary gets them, it's too late for Mary to introduce her ideology.
I'd like to see her counsel grieving families who have lost a loved one due to gun violence. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand these kids. I guess it's one thing to not care about the lives of, like, say, an opposing gang member or an innocent kid or a mom or a dad. But do they realize they're just going to end up dead? They don't care about their own life at all?
Apparently not, Kenny.
Yeah. Or spending 30 some years or more in prison. That doesn't, Is that a badge of honor?
This will come as no surprise, I'm sure, but my son Dylan worked with a producer out on the West Coast briefly who was a gang member in his teens and now is in his 40s. He said when they were in gangs, they fought each other and would kill each other, but they would never involve anybody outside the gang. But he said the young people that he's meeting have no, they don't have that filter. They don't care who they hurt, who they shoot, including themselves. So
yeah,
they just have
Dylan. No. Did Dylan do absolutely everything that guy told him to do
in the studio?
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sure. Sir.
Right on it, sir.
Oh no, he said he's a great guy.
He
said
he only killed about five people.
That guy kiss him on the cheeks every time they parted.
Human being, you guys. Star Tribune reporting Minnesota nonprofits are looking to restock food shelves as hunger increases in the state. Food supplies often dwindle the first few months of the year after a surge in giving during the holidays. But after a record-breaking 7.5 million visits to Minnesota food shelves last year, nonprofit leaders say the need has increased this year. Organizations distributing to food insecure Minnesotans, don't you love that expression? Food insecure. Not only goods, but also volunteers. Don Wambecki, executive director of Neighbors, Inc., a food shelf based in St. Paul, said that starting before the pandemic, food shelf visits were steadily increasing. Organizations now have been struggling to keep up with the ongoing high numbers of people in need. The Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild held its annual conference in downtown Minneapolis last week, a blind tasting of more than 450 beers from 90 breweries across Minnesota. And they named the winners of Minnesota Brewers Cup beers.
Who won, John?
Well, the best in show for this year.
So that'd be almost like a dog show thing.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. It would be Axeman IPA from Surly Brewing Company.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
What is this? What is the event?
It's the craft beer tournament of the world.
I'm seeing a lot of biscuit whiskers.
Yeah. Just Minnesota.
I'm seeing man buns galore.
100%. A lot of patchouli.
So Axeman won, huh?
Yeah, and Surly, the brewery, also won the American IPA category, is credited with starting Minnesota's craft beer boom. If you're wondering, Arbiter Brewing Company, I'm not familiar with Arbiter, took second place with Taki, a Korean rice lager.
Oh, pew.
That does not sound very appetizing.
God almighty.
Rounding out the best in show was Saga Imperial IPA, a winner in the strong beer category from St. Paul Summit Brewery, which had been brewing since 1986. That is Summit. Not
any
Saga.
Word on NA beers in that festival?
There was not, and I did look to find that, and I could find
it. Surly, I had great hopes for them. They've created one. It's just not. It's not able to be drunk at all. It's horrible. Not. It's
my issue with some of these beers is they taste like waitress BO. You know what I mean?
Well, I'd have to think about that.
I haven't had waitress BO for a while.
You just put in 10 hours in a greasy spoon. You're pretty gross. You smell like Mel's Diner. That's what they're
doing. I was a big Furious fan, Surly. I thought that was wonderful. I like
Furious,
Furious was a top three beer for me, too.
Oh, boy.
I was going to start.
Do they have a waitress BO line?
Yes, it's called waitress BO.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smells like waitress BO.
Start that story by saying a hobby I used to be interested in, but I'm not anymore. But
I can't imagine the financial losses Surly is suffering because of me.
Do you guys, do you still like NAs? Are you still?
I have found one that is absolutely perfect.
There's a couple I like, yes.
I've found them. Yeah, it's called Run Wild. By Athletic Brewing. It's an interesting story. It's a real rich hedge fund guy in New York said there's got to be a way. You can't drink this swill they keep putting out. There's got to be a way. And he got together with a brewer. I can't remember if the brewer might have been from Yingling or not. I can't remember who but he got together with the brewer and they whipped this up and now they're just killing it. They're taking over the market.
Why have you done this most research on that?
It was on. It was a front page story in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. And you do get a little buzz, right? I mean, after four or five of them,
you, it's you like keep pounding away, you're going to hit it. You can still drive. You got your number.
No, you don't.
You have to drink about
400 of them.
You'd have to drink, about 50 beers.
He's got a number.
Normal beer.
I don't have a number.
The Canadians are also very good at it. There's a company called Sober Carpenter that makes an IPA that tastes like an IPA.
Interesting you said that. I had one of those recently, and it was pretty good.
Pretty good. It tastes like
beer. Sober Carpenter.
Yeah, sober Carpenter.
Sober Carpenter.
I don't know many.
In national and international stories, a state appeals court today ruled that Donald Trump and his co-defendants in the New York civil fraud case have 10 days to post a $175 million bond, down from that $464 million judgment that was originally due today. The 11th hour ruling from a panel of state appellate division judges, all appointed by Democratic governors, is a major victory and relief for the former president, whose attorneys had said coming up with that large of a bond was a practical impossibility. The ruling also means State Attorney General Letitia James' office cannot yet begin collecting on any judgment. Trump said as he left the courtroom, "I greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and I'll post the $175 million in cash or bonds or security or whatever is necessary very quickly within the 10 days I have, and I thank the division for acting quickly." Before the ruling, Trump was liable for $454 million, most of the fraud judgment, but the amount he owed had been increasing by more than $111,000 a day because of added interest.
Jeez, that's just a spiral.
And 10 days from now, it'll be the extra special double secret probation appeal where he gets another 10 days.
Right. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun will step down at the end of 2024 as part of a broad management shakeup for the embattled aerospace giant. Larry Kellner is chairman of the board, also resigning. He and will not stand for re-election at Boeing's annual meeting in May. He'll be succeeded as chair by Steve Mellencamp, who has been a Boeing director since 2020 and is the former CEO of Qualcomm. The departures come as airlines and regulators have been increasing calls for major changes at the company after a host of quality and manufacturing flaws on Boeing planes. Scrutiny intensified after a January 5 accident when a door plug blew out of a nearly new Boeing 737 MAX 9 minutes into an Alaska Airlines flight. Vladimir Putin has scrambled to save face by casting doubt on ISIS's claim of responsibility for that Moscow concert massacre that killed 137 people and injured more. Two of the four ISIS terrorists who were charged overnight with terrorism have pleaded guilty after they were caught, allegedly tortured and detained by Russian security services after the attack Friday night.
They weren't messing around.
Well, they made one guy eat his own ear.
Yeah, and the other guy, they zapped his unit.
They cut the ear off one of the ISIS guys and had him eat it.
Oh, that's, how do you... They didn't boil it first?
No, they didn't cook it even.
Can I get some can I get some waitress body order with that? A little can of waitress
a little BO. WBO to go with that.
I can go down a little easier. You know?
Yeah.
ISIS twice claimed responsibility for the attack over the weekend, first posting a selfie taken by the four men, all of whom are Russian citizens, in front of an ISIS flag. Then they posted a 90-second selfie video of the attack from the terrorist perspective. But despite that evidence to the contrary, Russian authorities again tried to discredit the direct claims made by the terror group. Instead, appeared to be trying to blame the attack on the West, even though it had already emerged that the U.S. had tried to warn Russia about the massacre weeks before it happened. Pope Francis is facing growing dissent among members of the Catholic Church over recent decisions that opponents portray as contrary to traditional church doctrine. The most controversial has been the publication of a document in December by a Vatican bishop with the Pope's approval, mooting the possibility of blessing couples in irregular situations and same-sex couples. While the document stressed it did not change the church's stance on homosexuality or marriage, it brought a joint letter from Catholic clergy and scholars calling on others to disregard it. Previously, in his 11-year tenure as the head of the church, the pontiff has raised eyebrows, suggesting that even atheists could go to heaven, and saying he did not judge homosexuals, as well as taking a softer stance on abortion and remarriage.
Kenny?
Try not to bother me right now. There's brand new Taylor and Travis Beach pictures.
I was just wondering if you'd ask Kathy.
Focus on that.
If she would come on this show, just if nothing else, we could talk about McLaren's. Would you put that invitation out?
Yeah, I'll plant that
seed. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John, interrupted. Good around
you. Now back to Travis and Tay-Tay.
By day, Dominique Brown was a history teacher at Taylor Preparatory High School in the Detroit area.
Uh-huh.
But in her off hours, the educator worked as an aspiring rapper named Drippin' Honey.
Drippin' Honey.
What's up, Drippin' Honey?
That is until she was let go from her job.
Oh, that is so salacious. Really? That's her name?
That's her name. Brown told Fox 2 that a parent complained that she was a bad influence on her students because she's a rapper, despite being voted teacher of the month for the school in December.
You could drown teacher a toddler.
Right.
Said she never received a complaint in writing and asked the administration if a parent who complained could come in. It was one parent, by the way, apparently, who could come in and see the professionalism she shows in the classroom, see her after school, see her with the kids. Can they come see me in my element before they try to say I'm unprofessional? Brown said the parent remained anonymous, didn't go into detail about what they found objectionable about her rapping. This week after her firing, Brown posted a music video on her social media that she made with some of her students. She says, "My dedication, professionalism, and passion for education have been unwavering regardless of any personal pursuits I may have. It is worth noting that when I was hired as a teacher, my involvement in the music industry as a rapper did not hinder my candidacy. I was judged based on my qualifications, experience, and potential to positively impact the lives of my students." She said she's been teaching for 7 years, has more than 200 signatures from students and parents who support her. The school didn't immediately return Fox News Digital's request for comment. Brown says she may take legal action against the school if nothing changes.
We have a St. Paul legislator who was a rapper. Isn't that Maria Issa?
That's right.
Yeah. I think it is Issa.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Detroit's got Drippin' Honey.
That's right.
Right. Word.
Your mother.
Carl Schlesinger was the center of attention for his 106th birthday, surrounded by friends and family. There's not a lot of World War II vets left, but Carl is one. He said, how did he live such a full life?
Yeah.
He says, well, you can always get a chuckle out of people when I tell them I haven't died yet. So I guess I got to be this far along in years.
Grandpa.
Very clever.
I don't know what kind of good advice I can give to anyone. All I know is from my own experience, do the best you can with what you've got. Schlesinger was married for nearly 62 years. He's the dad of 2, grandfather of 5, grandfather, a great-grandfather of 5, and great-great-grandfather of 1.
I bet he can't name one of them.
Cool.
What was he doing when he put horseradish on his head?
Trying to get it in his mouth.
Yes. Thank you.
His daughter says
over the odometer, didn't he? Yeah. He rolled it over.
His daughter says he's always been a very sweet man, very sweet to my mother, and she had many health problems. He helped her through that, and I think that's one of the reasons he has such longevity. He was in the United States Army Air Corps at the age of 24 during World War II. Schlesinger says he has a regimen that keeps him looking and feeling youthful. He says, I shave, take showers, whatever. Try to keep myself healthy.
Okay. Well, I can do that. I mean, come on, buddy.
There you go. 100 years old.
Well, he also takes.
Schlesinger in Kennedy's cabinet? Was he a writer?
Arthur, right?
Arthur Schlesinger.
Yeah.
John, what else does the guy do?
He takes long walks inside the parson's house. I don't know what that means.
Sometimes I walk alone.
You know, it amazes me. I don't know if this guy was injured in World War II, but it
was not. No.
It amazes me how many of those guys were seriously injured and then they live into their 90s.
Yeah.
That's that human body for you.
John, is he regular still? Or
I'm not sure about that, Kenny.
That would be really crucial to know. I am serious. That would be
metamucil.
That would be fun.
He does say there are days, you know, when it's tough. He's 106.
106.
Wow. He says when that happens, he says, I sit down, I go look out the window, see what's going on outside, and I say to myself, well, I guess my life ain't exactly too bad. So,
well, that's pretty good stuff to live by, isn't it?
Positive. Got to be positive, guy.
What are you going to look like at 106?
But like I look right now, I think.
Still doing the show?
I'll be here. Yeah, I'm the mayor. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Johnny, thank you. Folks of Garage Logic, Minnesota has 120 Masonic lodges throughout the state. Most people look at those old buildings as the place where you go for a good pancake breakfast, where their grandpa went to hang out with friends and learn the secret handshakes. And you know what? That would be 100% accurate. But what people may not know is that Masonic lodges, that's where thousands of men make a commitment to develop their personal potential, work on becoming the best possible version of themselves. Courteous, honorable, kind, humble, charitable, civil. You know, garage logician, civil. In a world dominated by the decline of ethical and moral integrity, the Masons have embarked on a new program, Civility School. The test run of this program is going to be held Saturday, March 30th from 10 to noon at the Masonic Heritage Center in South Bloomington. They would love to have your input. If you'd like to attend and lend your garage logician's eye to the program, you can sign up by going to garagelogic.com/Masonic or go to garagelogic.com and enter the keyword Masonic. Let's get a bunch of GLers out there so Civility School can take some wings and fly. Tell them the Rook sent you. Go to garagelogic.com, keyword Masonic.
We haven't had many roofers join us on Garage Logic, but Pete is with us from Hire a Pro, and he wants to explain to you how they do what they do.
Joe, all a roofing company is an LLC acting as a GC that hires subs and gets their materials from a supply house. When Hire a Pro helps you on your storm damage claim, you get our discounts for materials, and the labor is provided by a licensed and insured crew that doesn't skip on the warranty. This lets you act as your own GC so you can keep what a roofing company would take in profits. So tell me, if the options were us or someone with no transparency who takes all the money, would you go anywhere else?
Probably not.
Last year, our homeowners, other GLers like you listening today, kept an average of $5,600 all for acting as their own GC. They trusted Hire a Pro because we don't door knock, we don't solicit, and we don't push contracts. You tell us when you're ready to go, and we've got your back.
So if insurance has approved your roof replacement, give these guys a call at 651-402-3400 or visit them online at hireapro. That's hire a, then put the dot there, pro.
Game. And sure enough, as the camera went around the arena, there's JoJo doing this with his Marquette t-shirt.
Sweet. That's awesome.
I just need a few quick moments, boys.
We'll give you some privacy.
Pat.
No
pad yet.
He has the light is it's still dark in the room there.
When are the Wild play next?
Thursday.
Why so many days off?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Thursday. It's a terrible schedule. They didn't need 4 days off right now.
Another heartbreaker, too, over the weekend.
They're not that good.
No.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Yeah, that's no, they gave a guy hope, too.
Yep. They don't shoot enough, Seth.
No. It ain't over yet. Let's go.
Don't even talk that way.
You be quiet.
I think there's only about 10 or 11 games left.
11 games for the Wild.
Is there?
Yeah. What's up with Ecker? How bad is he? Is he coming back at all?
I don't know. What's wrong with him?
I don't know, but he's been out of the lineup for a couple of weeks.
Joel Eriksson Ek?
Ecker.
The Ecker.
Jewel.
What's up, Ecker?
Ask Ross. He would know.
I actually don't know.
I think he does know. He's just
is Ross a Wild fan?
Well, he hangs out with those people up there.
You do?
I still love hockey injury declarations. Upper body injury, lower body injury. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it is.
Okay. Ross isn't a true hockey fan because he starts talking about the cup in November, which is one of the biggest jinxes any hockey fan could do to their team, their hometown team.
I just want to let you guys know I am still not over the Gopher hockey meltdown, letdown, choke job against Quinnipiac last year, and I actually need this Gopher hockey season to end to fully put that
well, to rear view mirror. Your Gophers played one of the worst forms of hockey I've ever seen in my life.
In that national championship game?
Yes.
They didn't play hockey. That was the problem.
It was pathetic.
They held on for dear life for 30
what
minutes.
What a bunch of BS that was.
I just need... from you, Kenny, pro what? Turf at some point.
Coach Souchere, what would it take to get professionals, the NFL, to play like the final game in a high school tournament? I want professionals to bring it the way the high school kids play.
I guess you got to wait till the final game of the NBA title games.
Oh, I thought you meant... So you meant like you want NFLers to play as hard as high school kids do.
And did I say NFL? I meant NHL. I want my hockey team to play like it's the final game of their high school career. I want that kind of energy every single night.
Then reduce the schedule to 30 games. Then you'd get it. But this playing 1,000 games a season, whatever they do, is too many.
Because those high school kids will play. If it kills them, they will keep playing. They don't care. That's the kind of passion I want for my pro hockey teams.
Again, they have to pace themselves. You can't play that. You can't be that way for 80 games.
Start in December and what, end of April?
January and February should be the regular season only. Done with the playoffs by April 1st.
You guys, Kenny.
That's too short for me, even.
Well, they'll never do it. They can't afford to do it that way.
Kenny, you won't love this because it's a college basketball comment, but did you see the kid from Oakland? They were a 14 seed.
No, I passionately hate college basketball.
So anyways.
It's the biggest joke. And the whole country is captivated by this crap.
It is annoying. I actually agree with that. Basically, 14 seed knocked off a very high 3 seed. And after the game, he said, well, I know I'm not going to the NBA, so I just kind of gave it my all.
I would draft that. You're talking about Golkey.
Yeah.
I would draft that kid for my team just to have him in the building.
Yep. There's a great comment. It's like, I know I'm not going to the NBA. The kid can
play, and he won't get drafted probably. I'm going to ask Pat about that.
Are you guys ready? Pat is in the building.
This is our last break?
Yeah, this could be should be this day in history, I think, if you're looking to get to Pat.
I got some stuff first. Okay. Here we go.
So we need Kenny to do ProTurf, and then remember, this day in history is sponsored.
I got it.
Okay, perfect. All right, sit tight.
Here we go. Is Rook doing something?
No, I'm done.
It's really weird.
No, Kenny, well.
It's weird working with somebody who cares about his job. It's just so odd.
Thank you, Kenny. Thank you.
It throws me off my game.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
Here comes your music.
Here we go.
See, even that.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and he feels fine. Joe Souchere.
Hey, did you order this weather? No, I didn't, but I know who did.
Okay, let's count it down here. The winter that never was is over.
I'm nervous about global warming.
Full spring is over. Official spring is over. Second winter is here. And I know who ordered all of this. Dave at ProfessionalTurf.com ordered it because our lawns need moisture. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, ProfessionalTurf.com. If you want the best lawn on the block, just log on. Go with the official lawn care company of Garage Logic. See, they've been at it since 82, talking professionalturf.com. If you already have a service, you need to abandon that service. You won't find the care anywhere else that you get from the ProTurf techs. They all have over 20 years of experience. They walk the same yards every year. They end up knowing your property better than you. All you have to do is schedule a free in-person lawn care analysis and an estimate. A ProTurf Pro will come out, walk your lawn, set up a program anywhere from 3, maybe 4, but probably 3 treatments throughout the season. And you'll have the greenest, happiest, thickest lawn on the block from spring until late fall. Again, check them out, ProfessionalTurf.com.
I have a couple of notes from GLers that I want to get to. This is from Justin in Lino Lakes. I have been catching up on podcasts, and on the 312 podcast, you and the boys discussed that the state should have a department to help people who know too much. I believe I have a theory akin to the Samer theory that may explain why people have seemingly gotten crazier over the last several years. I will try and be concise, and perhaps if you think there is something to my thought, you could improve upon it. My theory is based on the fact that today's humans are not conditioned to absorb the amount of information that we are exposed to in today's 24-hour news and social media environments. Since the time of cavemen, humans lived in small tribes that have known little of the world beyond the horizon and may not have encountered many other humans. Fast forward to medieval times. Our immediate tribes and towns grew bigger, but news of events or happenings would take months to traverse a territory, country, or continent. In American history, the Pony Express expedited news and correspondence down to days or weeks, keeping in mind that the communication was likely kept to only the most important topics. The invention of the telegraph, telephone, and television news revolutionized our ability to communicate across the country and the world. While the flow of information sped up tremendously, the quantity of information we were receiving was still relatively limited. That brings us to today. The 24-hour news cycle, internet, and social media has thrust access to information on us instantaneously. Not only is the information from across the globe available at a moment's notice, so are the opinions, thoughts, ideas, lies, and nonsense from anyone from the far corners of the world inundating us. Just 30 years ago, the news at 5 would broadcast the top 5 to 10 stories of the world. We now are exposed to every regional and local event from Indiana to Iran, as well as random thoughts from morons in their parents' basements. Simply put, humans were not designed to be this connected to those so far outside their tribe and absorb the amount of information that we're being exposed to every minute of every day. Maybe a better way to put it is technology and communication is outpacing the evolution of humans, and it's making us crazy. All the best, Justin from Lionel Lakes. I think he's on to something.
I think he's on to something, but just that information, all of it that we have out there, it's every side has something that they try to counter with immediately. So there's 16 different stories all at once. It's almost like a sporting event. How many ways can I get out there to make sure that the other guy's point doesn't get made?
See, innate in us. It must be an instinctual why we've said over the years, if you can get away from the news for 5 days, you feel pretty good about the world.
Yes.
What you have to do, though, is you have to get away from this.
Yeah, we'll leave that at home. Computer.
Yep. Yep.
And one more note. This is from Doug in Sioux Falls, Doug Heilman. And he sent me pictures. This is fascinating. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona last week listening to the podcast in your segment regarding the Minneapolis Council of Misfits trying to figure out how to screw up Lyft and Uber. Scottsdale's version is Waymo, a driverless EV. With a simple iPhone app similar to Uber, Lyft, you can order, direct, and pay for a driverless EV. I've attached 2 videos showing the outside and inside to demonstrate how it works. My 3-mile ride cost me $14.50 and no tip. And in case you're interested, it was a Jaguar. So I watched the videos he sent me. I would not get in a driverless EV, but I can see where now. And I don't know about the $14.50 for 3 miles. Is that good? That seems like a lot.
Asking the wrong guy. Yeah. I want a driver.
Yeah, I want a driver too.
And I want that driver to be me.
Yeah, right. Me too.
I'm driving myself.
And only because is brought to you by Renewal Anderson. Renewal by Anderson. Only because.
Only because.
They come to us all the way from, let's verify that. Well, they're sticking together, aren't they? God. Lake Las Vegas, Nevada, from the Traveling Linemen.
Confirmed.
It was on this day.
325.
1854. I'd like to hear the month. No, I'd like to hear it named.
March 25th.
In 1854, John Lind was born in Kana, Småland, Sweden. In 1899, he became the first Swede to be elected governor of Minnesota and the first Democrat to hold the office since Henry H. Sibley. He was also the first Swede elected to Congress, where he served 4 terms. And in 1913, he was President Woodrow Wilson's envoy to Mexico.
Huh.
He died in Minneapolis on September 18th, 1930.
Okay.
I did not know about John Lind.
I had no idea.
On this day.
This is March 25.
The inaugural issue of The Progress was published at the White Earth Indian Reservation. The first English language newspaper to be published on an Indian reservation, The Progress was edited by missionaries Gus H. and Theodore H. Ballou. The second issue was not published until October 8, 1887, because of interference by an Indian agent who was concerned about the intentions of the paper in which the Office of Indian Affairs was often criticized.
Those are my wife's people up there.
So you had this rat Indian agent sneaking around.
Come on.
Trying to prevent you from printing the paper.
Let's go here.
On this day.
325.
I like the march.
March. March on.
The St. Paul Globe published Eva McDonald Velesh's article recounting her observations as a worker in the Minneapolis garment industry. Using the pen name Eva Gay, Velesh would author a series of articles revealing women's lives in the Twin Cities workforce, and her work for the Globe launched her career as a journalist.
A little bit more well-known than her sister, Ima.
So. That's right. And finally, on this day.
Left flank, March 25th.
No, 3/25/24.
Huh? Carl F. Rolvaud was sworn in as governor, having defeated Elmer L. Anderson by 91 votes in the state's closest gubernatorial election. The recount of the election took 4 months.
Holy moly.
Why? What were the...
Well, when it's that close, it triggers an automatic recall. And that took 4 months.
I still don't believe the results.
But it didn't take 4 months to count the ballots overnight. Why did it take 4 months to count the ballots the second time? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I smell a rat. Something shady's coming on here.
Well, you know what? It was 61 years ago, and Carl F. Rolvaag was sworn in as governor. So November was the election. So, yeah, November to December to January to February. Yeah, it took 4 months.
Spell that name.
Rolvaag. R-O-L-V-double-A-G.
Double A.
Rolvaag. He's a Norsky, huh?
Yeah, Carl K.
Yes, sir.
Pat just yelled out he was an Irishman. No, he was not an Irishman.
Hey, town council membership, full audio, full show audio, full video, including before and after the show with the entire Garage Logic crew. Just a few of the great perks of the town council membership. You can get your own official member card and a certificate from the mayor himself, along with invites to exclusive events. Learn more about the town council and become a member at garagelogic.com. Speaking of garagelogic.com, the online store is there. And about that civility school, you go to garagelogic.com, keyword Masons, and you can join. I'd love to hear from some of you garage logicians signing up, and see you Saturday, March 30th at the Lodge. Yeah.
Everyone is going mad in March trying to narrow the field down to a sweet 16. This is Ricey for the Canopy Group, and they have their Savory 16. You see, the Canopy Group has 16 different insurance companies, giving them options to provide you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. The difference is, at the Canopy Group, their tournament never ends. They continue to use their 16 different companies to match you with the company providing the best coverage at the best price, and they do this annually. Get in the game. Contact the Canopy Group and get them working on your brackets. Bracketology isn't foolproof. The sure bet is Canopy Group for your home and auto insurance.
Or an
F1. Call 800-967-3389 or visit the CanopyGroup.com. Everyone is going mad in March trying to narrow the field down to a sweet 16. This is Ricey for the Canopy Group, and they have their Savory 16. You see, the Canopy Group has 16 different insurance companies, giving them options to provide you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. The difference is, at the Canopy Group, their tournament never ends. They continue to use their 16 different companies to match you with the company providing the best coverage at the best price, and they do this annually. Get in the game. Contact the Canopy Group and get them working on your brackets. Bracketology isn't foolproof. The sure bet is home and auto insurance. Call 800-967-3389 or visit the CanopyGroup.com.
All right.
Back everything nice I said about you. Why do we have to listen to that?
because in the middle of it, I said to you,
well,
I want a McLaren P1. Well, I didn't know I was on the ad doing that.
Normally, we don't have to listen to that.
It's actually a lot easier if you do it this way.
Well, don't do it. Don't do it that way. I don't. I'm Joe. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go to Twitter and retweet my Travis and Tay Tay tweet for me.
What makes you think I'll see it?
And Ross, I need you to go to the GL account and do the same thing. We need to big up this tweet.
Just an FYI, we are still on the council.
Hi, council.
Yeah, we know. We know.
I don't see it.
How do you like that one, John?
Yeah. Now I'm dead.
Kenny, I will retweet it from my desk when I get there.
It's the most unlikely tweet from me ever. It was 5 minutes ago, Joe, so you shouldn't have to go too deep.
Or you could just search. And
Kenny, I love you, but I'm still going to do it my way when it comes to
you're doing
ads.
It the wrong way.
I was
Ross.
Doing just fine today, and then I saw Trav and Tay-Tay picks, and now I need a coroner because I'm dead.
That's it.
And make sure you show that to your girls at home.
Okay, I got to retweet that.
And then show them a picture of me.
Rook, you're good for tomorrow. You got tomorrow and Thursday in this big chair.
Yeah. Boy, she's fine looking.
Anyway.
I'm all over the place. But
can
I
we do
the,
one of my, I got to do the wrap up here.
Because I may be in other studios.
Good luck with that.
One of my favorite.
Yeah. Johnny, I do not need stories. I just put some in as you were going.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite things, Kenny, was
throw my stuff away
when she first started this tour way, 2 years ago or whenever the hell it was. Yeah. And you out of the blue on the show one day said, "Boy, she's grown up." That was one of my favorite things.
Our own Kenny Olson. Trying to ask Joe to put the brakes on. Wait.
Oh,
yeah. Don't
has joined the PR team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Kathy Cargill. Kathy is with a K.
I think you spell Cargill just so I get it right.
Cargill.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I like Kathy. She tells you to go screw yourself. That's great.
Who in our future will be deciding what passes for convention? ? Testimony from global warming expert answers all questions.
We finally converted you.
Now, this is a dumb shit. Cross-country skier who didn't know what atmosphere was.
But he had the global warming figured
out. Yeah, he's all right. He's an expert. That's enough. And then John Haidt.
And I can add that.
And I'm going to the bathroom.
Yep, and I'll come up with a title.
Are we still on the thing?
Yes, but I can take you off.
Well, I don't need to go off, but we just need to know when we're on.
Yeah, you're still on. I will let you know when we are not.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hi, Pat.
I got an old guy problem lately.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I keep forgetting to put up my zipper. But nothing's going to dangle or anything. We don't have that problem. But about 4 or 5 times I've noticed I didn't zip up my pants. What the hell? Is that the last sign of old age?
It's because you're always thinking about something else. So then you just stop and keep.
That's why you're so happy that you got them on. There you go.
I can help you, Patrick.
The process. Yeah.
I can help. Now that I have become morbidly obese,
yes, right.
I have switched to sweatpants. And that is never a problem again.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Not having plus, a zipper would help. Yeah.
Plus, I don't have to go out in public. I just go from my office back to my
couch. The other day, I made it all the way to the arena before I noticed that I parked it. I parked in the ramp at Gopherdom over there by Washington, over there on University Avenue.
Yeah.
No, Washington Avenue. So I walked, and then I walked between the buildings and over there and just as I felt a little breeze about, my God, I did it again. I didn't pull up my zipper. It's the last, I've seen that in malls too. The old guy that's standing there waiting for his wife with a zipper open. You know.
Yeah.
That's kind of the end of the line, I think, right then. What the hell? You know what's driving me crazy, boys? How much basketball have you watched?
I hate basketball.
Some. I watch some.
They're trying to make you hate it because the last 40 seconds, we have to run over to the scorer's
table. Yeah.
You decide if there's 32.2 seconds left or 32.4 seconds. Mm-hmm. 8 times. Get the Ricey plan. Get rid of tenths on the basketball clock. We never had them until, 25 years ago, maybe, John? They started putting tenths on them. When you played for the Mandan, whatever the hell they were.
Braves.
We didn't have tenths. No. We didn't, there's a second left. We don't know, So you better get that shot up in a hurry,
They also, in that last minute, do not, if there's a call that's even remotely close, they don't like to take credit for it. They want to run over there and look. Let's talk about this.
Who tipped it out of bounds?
Man? Exactly.
You can have it hit a guy in the freaking nose and bounce off, and we'll still go over and look and see who went off. We know what went off him. That big 7-foot dork that just let it hit him in the face. That's who it went off.
Make the damn urinate, call. Let's go.
Urinate in the Cheerios.
Yes.
That one's been around forever. Yes. And people are acting like they haven't heard it.
I've never heard that one. I confess.
Ricey, have you?
Yeah, but not with the urinate part. Just with the more gross term.
Yeah. And I've always heard cornflakes, not Cheerios. Yeah,
are we talking about bodily functions?
No, we're talking about a problem that has surfaced for me. I keep forgetting to pull up my zipper.
That's not good.
It's about 3 times in the last week. What the hell? It's not that hard.
Boys, I just need another moment or two, then we'll get off the council and we can start the shed.
All right. So our boy took a week's vacation, did he?
Reavers? I think he's in Arizona, Pat.
Yeah. Good for him. God, that wife of his. What a saint. Could you imagine spending a whole week with him day by day?
And they all drove down.
Oh, my God. That's bad. That's bad.
They're flying back. He's driving back.
Mm. He loves those 5,000-mile drive.
Yep.
Pat, do you think she's had moments of regret?
Regret?
She's had months of regret.
Not for a long time, but I've been at a couple functions with her and walked around and said, how the hell you do it? she says he's nice to the kids, and what the hell?
He's nice to the kids. It's always a bad sign when that's all she can say about
that's all she can come up with.
She's nice to the kids.
Yeah.
All right, boys, I'm going to remove you off the council. Right, we are only moments away from Monday Night Sports Talk, about a minute or so. See ya.